JC Corcoran Podcast.
I even like that theme song from Quantum Leap. That was a good song there. So anyhow, Scott Bakula, you see him. If you see him running around town today, you know, that looks like Scott Bakula. It's him. He's back in town. And why they missed out an opportunity to have a guy who is from St. Louis and who
knows
how to sing. And instead, you get this biatch yesterday out there at Bush
A
Stadium.
Native of Wausau, Wisconsin, this crossover country artist recently moved to St. Louis to continue her performing and recording career.
See, right there, it doesn't even make sense. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin. She's moving to St. Louis.
And she's a country singer.
Yeah, the hub of the music industry. Music City, St. Louis, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Makes no sense from the
beginning. Well, maybe she's saving up money. She'll stay here a year, and then she'll move to Kentucky.
She's eventually moving south.
She'll get to Nashville.
Right. Mike Shannon goes, please welcome this woman. She's from Wausau, Wisconsin, and she only had enough bus fare to get to St. Louis on her way to Nashville. Please welcome.
She's going
to
sing God Bless America for us today. Please welcome Carrie Beth Foster.
Never heard of her. Nope. People are looking around at each other going, huh? Who?
Are you supposed to sing? Yeah. Is that you?
Who's that? Second line, she's in trouble. Second line.
God bless America.
Okay, let me ingest a six pack and crack cocaine. I go to bed. Mm-hmm. I'm laying in bed. You awaken me at 3:30 in the morning.
Don't allow you to urinate.
Stick a microphone in my face and say, "Sing God Bless America,"
or at least say the second line.
Land that I love.
Land of the
Sorry.
Next.
Not even close.
Stand beside her.
That's right.
And guide her.
Good job. 3 out of 4.
Through the night with the light from above.
Free and above now rhyme.
From the mountain to the prairie.
Oh, she's doing great. She'll be fine.
Whose niece or cousin or aunt is this down at the ballpark?
Well, that's all right sometimes.
To the ocean.
Now, when you think of an ocean, you think of seaweed, but that's not really a romantic sort of thought that you would put in a song. Jellyfish. You wouldn't use that in a song.
Shark attack.
But you would think of the waves hitting the coast,
beautiful,
hitting the rocks, and producing that sort of foamy look.
Uh-huh.
The ocean's white with foam. That's the song. The ocean's white with foam.
Wild and free.
At first she sounds like she's saying la, la, la. The wild, when she starts wild, sounds like la, la, I don't know the next
the
maybe
oceans.
She sings better on an E sound than an O sound.
The oceans,
so she just changed it.
Wild and free. Well, you know what? She doesn't sound good singing anything. Okay? I'm not a singer. I
think
sing
what
better
would have
than
happened
this.
If she'd sung foam.
Sounds like one of the people that would kick off of American Idol, you know, and before they actually get
kick
to the...
Kick off? They wouldn't even put them on the show in the first place.
You know, like the first couple of episodes of each American Idol where they're not even in the theater yet. They're just like in a hotel room and people are singing in the lobby. And Simon goes, you suck. You absolutely blow, you know? So.
My home sweet home.
It's not easy to sing down there a cappella, you know.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds like her voice is going to go out. She's been singing for a minute and 20 seconds.
Laurie can't even listen in her headphones anymore.
Laurie is taking her headphones off.
You're hurting her.
Here we go. Here's the big finish.
My home, sweet home.
Everybody's kind of like, okay.
Talk about shocking
on.
That was great.
The second line, God bless America.
Heart.
What did she even say? Land of the free.
La,
land of the
la,
free,
la.
I think.
Land of the free. I tell you what, I mean, you laugh, but I'd rather have this. No?
Oh,
I'd rather have this.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail in the
Alicia Bonds.
Anybody, bring Mike Ditka, the former coach of the Chicago Bears, out to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Love
anybody.
It.
A one.
Yeah.
And a two.
Woo.
And a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Marty's happy. That's a great Jackson. I don't care if I ever get back. I will run up for the whole game. They don't really can say. One.
Thank you, Lori.
And he didn't waste time.
Every word correct, you know.
In, up, fixed, out.
The best part of that is the organist trying to keep up with it, man. It's hilarious.
It reminds me of that scene from Reefer Madness where the guy's playing the piano, you know. Even you know, Dennis Franz, you know, on Mother's Day would be better.
Bunch for Harry and for all you mothers out there, it's Mother's Day. And a one, and
mothers.
A two,
you mothers out there.
I'm telling you, that's one of the great traditions that have developed there at Wrigley Field, having other people sing that every day is just fabulous.
Yeah. Or as Lori said, at least get close to it. You know?
Yeah.
At least get close to it. Oh, brother.
Wow.
We try to help. Sometimes people just like it broken.
That's next opening guess. Day, the four of us.
Yep.
Singing.
The four freshmen.
Ooh, yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think?
We could do some little dance moves.
How about I introduce the three of you?
Yeah. At least I know the damn words.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again. Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that. Voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
What the hell happened? Another summer just went away on us. I know technically there's a couple of days left, but man, September 1st, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. How you doing? John Hewlett posted a picture on Facebook this morning. It was the first thing I saw when I got up today. The U-Man had posted this picture, and this has got to be from 1985. Just think about that for a minute. I'd been in St. Louis about a year, maybe less than that, because I didn't get in until Memorial Day. And I don't even remember what the promotion was. All I remember is that we were doing a remote live broadcast in the morning from someplace, and it required us to be in pajamas, and we did a good portion of the show laying in bed. And I remember Zipper Zeppa came down for some reason, and he laid down in bed with us too and did an entire sportscast with a microphone and nothing else in his hand. He had no paper, no notes, no nothing, and he did an entire sportscast that sounded like he was reading off a teleprompter. We had custom-made pajamas. I remember that. And so this shot is on John Hewlett's Facebook page today. And if the show sounded like it was fun back in those days, it absolutely was. I mean, we were constantly fighting with management about stuff. And they finally laid off of us a little bit when we got really rolling in the ratings were so high that I think the attitude of the radio station was, look, don't do anything to piss them off. Try to control them. Probably won't work, but don't do anything to alienate them. Just try to have fun with us. People are making so much money, it's obscene. I remember after about, I don't know, I left there in the fall of 86, and there was a sales manager there, and he left to go to New York sometime in 1986. So we would have been on the air about 2 years doing the show back at KG at that time. And again, it's 1986, and this guy leaves for New York, and the last thing he does is he stops and puts his head in the studio and says, I just want to thank you for putting my kids through college, because he made so much money. Basically, the entire college fund for his children was taken care of. He never had to worry about it again. It's hard to believe that, a lot of dick waving, and that's really what it was. You know, my contract would be up, and right away, out would come the dicks. And everybody would start waving them around, and the next thing you know, I'm gone, and I'm off to another radio station. It's amazing how even looking back, 37 years or whatever it was, I think back at how stupid it was that things like that were discontinued for reasons that could have been made to evaporate if people weren't so macho about everything. And again, I've said this a million times. There's a lot of people like to run around going, oh, JC's been fired from every station he's ever been at, which is completely false. I think I've been fired four or five times in 38 years in this business. That's actually pretty good. But, back to the John Hewlett thing. John and I would travel so much because we were always following the Cardinals, in postseason. And that's not just in the Casey days. Those are in the K-Hits days, too. And John and I would travel, and we had all these little things that we would do. And John is just seriously one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. And it's not that he is standing around telling jokes. It's just that he's so idiosyncratic and seems sort of childlike a good portion of the time, which I really appreciated, because we get to the airport, and of course it would be so much work in advance of taking a trip like that, and just to sit in that seat in the airplane and realize, okay, the hardest part of this is over now. Now we just go get to do the show, and that will be fun from wherever this remote location is. And I think we did shows from LA and New York and just all, a lot of spring training trips and all that sort of stuff. And it was just so great traveling. We had this thing where if John got like seat A and I got seat C, and there was a seat open in between us, and this worked on Southwest, where you don't have seat assignments. It's just whoever sort of gets there first. So it's up for grabs. And then, they do that thing at the very end after everybody with a ticket has been loaded onto the plane. Then they make that announcement in the lobby, in the terminal, and they're like, okay, anybody flying standby, this is your shot. And then all the standby people would come floating in. And you'd be like, no, no, we don't want them to take that middle seat. So John and I had perfected this thing, and it really worked. It worked every time. I swear, every single time. It never failed us. John would be John would be like in seat A. I'd be in seat C, open seat in the middle. And John and I would start looking like we would be in the middle of an argument. And I'd be waving my arms around. He'd be pointing at me, and I'd be pointing at him, and I'd throw my arms up in the air. People would come down the aisle and see the empty seat and go, I'm not sitting between these two guys. What the fuck is going on? And sure enough, you'd hear that door close, and you'd sort of feel that thing in your ears where they were pressurizing the cabin. And we're like, we did it again. It worked again. And we got to have the opportunity to spread out in our seats a little bit, and it just worked every single time. And out of all the times traveling with John, one of my favorite stories, and I don't think I've told this story before here, not on the podcast, I might have told it on the old show, but we went to San Francisco because the Cardinals were playing the Giants in League Championship Series, something like that. If you've ever been there, it's a very noisy city, especially, downtown. And in the hotel district and sort of the business and tourist districts, it's really loud. And even in the middle of the night, it's loud. It's a big city. Chicago's like that. New York is like that. It sounds corny, but it's true. The city that never sleeps. There's a lot of cities, I think, that don't sleep. And San Francisco is one of them. So, check into this hotel. We're like maybe like the 8th or 10th floor or something like that. And in the middle of the night, you just hear this noise. And it just sounds like, what the hell? It's enough to wake you up in your room. And you hear these sirens going off. And it's like, God, what is happening out on the streets of San Francisco in the middle of the night? Get up in the morning, turn on the TV, and the lead story on the local news is that some car
jumped the curb of some hotel and crashed right into the lobby of the hotel. And on the news, you could see the back end of the car sticking out of the lobby of the hotel and all the shattered glass everywhere. And I'm like, God sakes. I called John. John's like, ready to go to breakfast. Yeah. Did you get awakened in the middle of the night? I was like, yeah. What was all that? I think I saw it on the news this morning. It sounds like, you know, some car went through a hotel lobby or something. Man, oh, man. We come down the elevator. We get off the elevator, and there's the car. It was our hotel that the car jumped the curb on and smashed right into the lobby. This is car in the lobby of the hotel. We just sort of looked at each other like, nobody's ever going to believe this. Nobody will ever believe this. Oh, man, but there was a lot of stuff like that. A lot of stuff like that. Anyhow, a big hi to the U-Man today, wherever you may be. All right, another bad day for Stan Kroenke yesterday, as you know, his legal options have been running out, and so far he has lost on every challenge, every legal maneuver, every filing, every brief, every motion, every sort of, you know, underhanded, sleazy lawyer trick there is. And one of the things they were trying to do, they finally sort of acquiesced to the idea that, okay, we're going to have to go to trial on this thing. And so then they started fighting the venue, and they're like, no, we can't have this trial in St. Louis. People will be, you can't get a jury to adjudicate this thing fairly. I mean, the people in St. Louis, you know, that we can't have that trial here. And the judge was like, I don't see any evidence to the idea that somehow having the trial in St. Louis is going to damage the fairness of the trial. No, forget it. We're having the trial here. So I can tell you what's going to happen. This thing is going to go down to, and whenever this starts, who knows, it could be another year or two. But whenever this trial, it's going to go right down to the trial day, the beginning of the trial, and on the courthouse steps, and Stan's going to say, okay, I'll write you a check for how many ever million dollars. What's it going to take to make this whole thing go away? And the city of St. Louis is going to say, well, this thing started at $20 million because that's how much money we spent, you know, putting stuff together for you guys, because you told us you wanted a new stadium. And so we had this whole thing drawn up, and the whole thing cost $20 million. And all along, you knew that you were not bargaining in good faith and that you were going to scoot out of the city of St. Louis. So we're going to start with $20 million. And just since then, since we filed the lawsuit, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago, you know, we've run up another $20 million in legal fees. So now we're at $40 million. And let's just throw in another $10 million for making us do all this. So, I don't know, $50 million. You write the check for $50 million and we won't go to trial. You go back to LA and it'll be the end of this ridiculous story. That's what I think is going to happen. But when Kroenke lost that change of venue motion yesterday, that was really, really bad news for him. And again, there have been, if you've been keeping track of this thing, there's been a lot of this stuff, all these legal maneuvers, and Stan has lost on all of them. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All this Kardashian and Kris Jenner and Justin Bieber and the Ireland Baldwin and all these other children who are in the news all the time, all the entertainment news. I don't do any of that stuff for obvious reasons. Well, now this is worth talking about here. If you've been keeping track of this Britney Spears thing, you know, her father, it turns out, you know, because she's trying to get away from this conservatorship thing that got put in place years ago, because they said she lacks the mental capacity to be able to manage her own affairs. And so her dad said, okay, I'm going to run her affairs. I decide what she gets to do. I'm basically her parent. A lot of the parenting that apparently did not take place while she was a kid, he's trying to do all this now. And she's like, you know, I can't even have a cell phone without his approval. I can't go to the store without his approval. This is ridiculous. What is she, like 40 now? Anyhow, the story surfaces today that Jamie Spears, Britney Spears' dad, wanted $2 million to go away. Sounds like extortion to me, but that's going to be interesting to see it play out. Are you familiar with this actress, Rose McGowan? She's been right at the center of a bunch of controversies over the last couple of years. She's an activist, and she likes to take her shirt off, but she likes to be in complete control of who gets to see her with her shirt off and not have that decision made by other people, which I guess is her right. Anyhow, turns out she was stung by a murder hornet in a jungle in Mexico. She documented her symptoms on Twitter, like fuzzy vision, a numb arm and leg, profuse sweating, and stomach cramps. Who's ever in charge of wiping out murder hornets? Geez, I hope you're doing a good job. There was something on Facebook maybe, I don't know, 5-6 days ago that showed a nest, or it's probably not called a nest, whatever it is, a hive, a big hive, and all of these murder hornet little babies still in their embryonic state. They're all bouncing around in this hive, and it's like, yo, man. So I hope it doesn't turn out to be like COVID. I hope somebody's on this and just figuring out a way to wipe these damn things out. Mike Richards yesterday let go as executive producer of Jeopardy. He lost the job hosting the show, and now they're like, no, we don't want you around at all, so pack up your stuff. Here's a box. Paul Stanley has recovered from COVID, but now Gene Simmons has tested positive. His symptoms are reportedly mild, but Kiss has canceled its shows through Sunday. I don't know why this would be on tonight or what the significance of this is, but there is a Richard Pryor special on ABC tonight at 9 o'clock. You might want to check that out. And there's going to be a bunch of 9/11 shows, just a real lot of them. I think the CNN series, which I believe is four parts, I think that starts this weekend. And there's one on Netflix that starts today. It's called Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror. So you can look for that. The New England Patriots have released Cam Newton. Looks like they're going to go with their rookie, Mac Jones, at quarterback. I'm just jumping around here today. The trailer is out for the new James Bond movie called No Time to Die, if you're interested in that. Just days before it was supposed to kick off, Bonnaroo canceled due to unsafe conditions caused by Hurricane Ida. David Lee Roth turned down an offer to open for Motley Crue. And when they said, David, sounds like a decent deal, why did you turn it down? He said, I don't open for bands that I influenced. End quote. And an Amy Winehouse biopic is in the works. You can see that coming. Birthdays today. Gal who was just featured on CBS Sunday Morning over the weekend, Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi, which is almost impossible to pronounce, 51. Gloria Estefan, and that is the correct pronunciation of her name, 64. Dr. Phil at Blowhard is 71. Barry Gibb, the last standing BJ, 70. BJ? BG. Freudian slip there, JC. Barry Gibb, the last BG standing. Whew, man, is it Monday? 75 today. Lily Tomlin, 82. Alan Dershowitz, OJ's lawyer, is 83. It was 82 years ago today, 1939. The Nazis invaded Poland, and that started World War II. Thanks, guys. 36 years ago today, the wreck of the Titanic found 73 years after it sank. And 19 years ago, Sarah Michelle Gellar married Freddie Prinze Jr. Today is their 19th anniversary. That's one of those entertainment stories that I would probably skip 99% of the time. But not today. Not today because of this story. I think most people know that Freddie Prinze Jr. is the son of Freddie Prinze, the comedian, who wasn't around long. You know, his star rose very, very quickly. And while he was at sort of the prime of his entertainment experience, I guess you would say, he shot himself. Now, if you're saying to yourself, was it depression, or is this maybe the guy was just a lunatic all along? I think you may come to the latter conclusion based on this story that I dug up off the internet, and I've been holding on to this, waiting for the opportunity to play it. This is Jimmy Walker. Remember Dynamite? Okay, Jimmy Walker reminiscing about an infamous incident, actually a series of incidents involving a guy he hung out with back in the 70s in that whole L.A. comedy explosion. Listen to this Jimmy Walker story.
Of music magazines, because John Travolta had a hit record also. Right. People don't realize that. So Freddie says, we got to go to the athletic store. Freddie was in horrible physical shape. I said, what are we going to the athletic store? You're not going to work out. He says, you'll see. So me, him, and Burst go over there. He buys a bow and arrow, high power bow and arrow. Travolta lived down on Santa Monica Boulevard at the time. You know, he's a big star now. He's whatever. But Freddie goes down and he takes a high power bow and arrow. I said, Freddie, what are you going to do? He says, I got to kill this guy. Says he can't be bigger than me. I said, Freddie, we're not killing anybody, okay? He says, I'm waiting for this fucking guy and I'm gonna kill him. So I'm trying to stop him, me and Bursi. He knocks on the door, Travolta's door. Thank God Travolta does not answer, okay? I don't even know if he's home. As we're leaving, Freddie turns around, fires three arrows into the door. I'm sure to this day, Travolta's going, the fuck I get home, there's three arrows in my door. What is that about, man? But Freddie was out to get this guy, boy.
Freddie Prinze wanted to kill John Travolta. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, these stories. That's why I still show up for work every day. Every once in a while, I do get surprised. A new poll of 1,000 workers in this country found exactly half of the people surveyed don't like their job. Top 10 reasons. You're not paid enough. You're underappreciated. There's a lack of communication. You're overworked. There's no opportunity for advancement. The hours suck. Your boss sucks. The work itself isn't enjoyable. Your coworkers suck. And there's a tie between low job security and bad benefits, a long commute, and being micromanaged, both barely missed the top 10. This one I don't understand at all. I'm going to have to go back today and look this information up and get more details here. This makes no sense. A new study found women find men more attractive if they mumble a lot. But the opposite is true for female voices. Women who speak clearly are seen as more attractive than women who mumble. But why would a man mumbling be found to be attractive by women? Makes no sense to me at all. Are you one of these people who has to go down every aisle at the grocery store, or do you try to go down the fewest aisles possible? A new survey says 64% of Americans think they have to walk down every single aisle of the grocery store. Those people were also more likely to identify as early birds, adventurous, introverted, and fans of horror movies. The hell? Survey also found that 80% of grocery shoppers make a list compared to 20% who don't, and 78% say they have a tendency to leave the store with more than they intended to buy. Gosh, you think? The survey implied that shoppers who go down every aisle are more likely to come with lists, but it didn't draw a direct line between the two. On one hand, it seems ridiculous to go down every row, every visit, but it might actually save some time, even if you have a list. How many times are you circling back to aisles that you skip to find stuff? So there, maybe there's a point in all of this. And finally, if you're on a first date, it's probably safe to say that that date doesn't want to go on a high-speed chase from the police. 22-year-old man in Florida named Taylor Beverly somehow didn't get that. He had his date hop on a motorcycle with him Saturday night, and at some point, he ran a red light. Taylor saw a cop at the intersection, and the cop turned on his lights, but Taylor did not stop. He sped up until he was going well over 100 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic, running several lights. Now, the date is on the back of the motorcycle. The first date, mind you. Taylor was eventually caught. He told police he was trying to show off for his date. The woman told the cops she was screaming at the top of her lungs for him to stop, but he refused. Taylor was charged with a felony for fleeing the cops. He was released after posting $10,000 bond. His previous rap sheet includes convictions for cocaine possession, grand theft, and passing a counterfeit check. This guy's date really knows how to pick 'em. Oh, one more thing. Matt Gaetz said he wants to abolish the education department. Yeah, because the more you teach girls, the less likely they are to get into your van. You psychotic, pathological sociopath. I worked hard on that. Did you like it? Yeah. Okay. That's it. We're done. The 1st of September. A day I'll always remember. Because that was the day that that. No, never mind. We are here every weekday morning. We post a fresh podcast for you at 7 o'clock, roughly. Roughly, that's my fault. I apologize. If you miss a podcast, you can binge them. You can listen whenever you want. They're all archived right here. We are available on multiple platforms. We thank our technical genius, Everett Marshall. You can email me, jc@jconline.com. On Facebook, you can be finding us at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.